Welcome to the program. It is Friday, and it is Pat and Stu here for Glenn. A lot of great stuff today, including a great rant from a California chef who is sick and tired of all the restrictions on his business and just wants to do outdoor dining. He's not even trying to open up the inside of his restaurant. He's so frustrated about the situation where you have these restaurant owners spending thousands of dollars to retrofit their places to try to get people inside and deal with these restrictions, and then they just told to close down. Really is an amazing rant. I think you're going to like that quite a bit. Also, Joe Biden wants you to wear a mask for just 100 more days. Just 100 more days. And you can trust him for some reason. I don't know what the reason is, but you can trust him. It'll only be 100 days. Also, want to tell you about the if you're on your podcast right now, go over to Pat Gray Unleashed and subscribe to Pat Gray Unleashed right now. If you happen to be approaching Christmas and you're ready to eat a bunch of Christmas cookies, you need to go to scrumptiouscookie.com, which is Pat's wife's cookie company. I will say, if Pat was making the cookies, I wouldn't tell you to go there. But Jackie's
no,
awesome.
You wouldn't want to.
And these cookies are awesome.
Yeah.
So check that out while you're there. Also want to remind you about Christmas merch to get. I will say, you'll like Santifa Claus quite a bit. It's flying off the shelves right now. Santa Claus plus Antifa. You got to have a Santa Claus from the autonomous zone of the North Pole coming down to deliver joy with his Molotov cocktail and his baseball bat. Santifa Claus. And also the wonderful mug for all of your best holiday beverages. It's not a riot. It's just a mostly peaceful tree lighting with the city aflame behind it. I think you'll like that quite a bit as well. Go to Stu Does Merch for that. And you get Pat's merch as well there. If you just click
shop.theblaze.com. Yeah, shot.blaze.com.
I don't know.
/squiggly line.
That's why I say Stu Does Merch.com, because it just redirects to the right page. If you go there, you can get to Pat's page as well, right from the same site. Check it out now, and here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I don't know if you talked about it yesterday or not, because, I mean, I'm sorry, I missed it. Mm-hmm. Missed the broadcast yesterday. But there's a video released from the state of New York where people are chanting and hollering in the streets, and I can't make out what they're saying. And I was hoping, especially used to, that you'd be able to, I know you understand New York.
Yeah, I was born in New York. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you could help me understand what they're saying in this video.
Tough to pick up. Can we hear it again?
I can't make it out what they're saying. It almost sounds like
somebody sucks, I think. Can we hear it one more time? I can't quite. It's difficult, Jeffy. You're right.
Know.
It's tough to pick up.
I think it might be.
It almost sounds like something like Cuomo sucks.
That's it.
Oh,
Cuomo sucks.
I knew you would know. Thank you.
And it's interesting,
Pat,
because in New York, the governor of New York is Andrew Cuomo, and he sucks. So that would make sense. Cuomo sucks. Makes perfect sense.
Right.
For a New Yorker to want to chant.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Gosh darn it. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad I brought that in to figure that one out.
I was talking to somebody the other day about this, a relative who lives in New York, and we were talking about Andrew Cuomo. And of course, obviously, I believe Andrew Cuomo is awful.
.com.
But we were talking about, like, it hasn't really changed in the polling, his approval rating, all that
Weird.
Much. It's gone from, like, at one point it was almost like 80%, and it's gone down to like the 70s or the 60s. But it needs to be like one. Right, like one. Like, I can understand his family.
At the most.
Yeah, like maybe his family
Chris,
approves.
His brother likes him.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That should
be
it.
It should be like
his
one
daughter
person.
Doesn't even like him anymore. The daughter had the boyfriend that was working at the mansion, and Cuomo shipped him off to the border. No, you're seeing my daughter? Yeah, no. Canadian border. You're
yeah,
out.
That is
great.
Wow. It's good. That was that actually kind of, something like that did happen. At least.
Yes.
I don't know. Will it turn around in New York? I mean, they're obviously so liberal, but you at some point when, you know, you have a liberal governor who you might like some of their policies, but you realize, you know, they've killed your grandparent. I don't know.
That would tend to dampen your attitude.
I would think so. It definitely seems like New Yorkers are becoming more outspoken about how bad Cuomo is, but the polls haven't moved enough for my liking yet, Pat or Jeffy. It's pissing me off.
Yeah.
Also, I'm looking forward to the new brand new streaming service. We don't have enough streaming services in
Quibi?
Our lives anymore.
No,
no Quibi. No. Quibi's,
oh, gone.
Quibi's no more.
Oh, that's sad.
Quibi's no
Quibi's
more.
Gone.
This is exciting news. Discovery Plus. Discovery Plus is going to be a new streaming service. Looking forward
We've
to it.
We've all been clamoring for that.
I know.
And finally they
I
responded.
55,000 episodes, 2,500 current and classic shows. I mean, and it's going to be all their networks. I mean, they have HGTV, Food, TLC, OWN, Planet Earth, and of course the ever popular And More. And so
I love that channel.
I know, me too. How much are you willing to pay for the streaming service, for Discovery Plus?
I'm going to go $0, but also
they're charging
zero
a little bit
cents.
More. They're charging a little bit more than
are
that.
They really?
Yeah, they are.
Huh.
$4.99. Okay. $4.99 a month, $6.99 ad-free for Discovery Plus.
That's interesting. I don't know.
I know.
It's just people will get to the point. And look, we happen to be, there happens to be a Blaze TV that we all love and would love you to subscribe to. Please do, blazetv.com/Glenn. But there is some sort of, like, how many different subscriptions? I have no idea how many I have. I feel like I have 50.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Well, you look at your Amazon, right? Everybody's got Amazon Prime. Most people have Netflix, although we dropped ours because of that child porn thing. You got your
just throw that out there.
You got your Hulu. You got your CBS. You got Disney Plus. You've got AMC has a streaming thing too, right?
Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm. And looking forward to the new Hillary Clinton broadcast. She just announced yesterday with Apple TV Plus.
It's Hillary and Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Doing what?
They've created a production company, and their first thing is going to be the book that they put together about strong women.
Strong women.
It's going to be great.
Oh, wow. Can't wait for that.
It's going to be great. And that's Apple TV. It makes me want to subscribe. Man, do I want Apple TV Plus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's quite a number.
Yeah, there's
right?
so many. There's way more than that.
HBO Max. And HBO Max just announced that they've got the new deal now where Warner Brothers, their movies, remember they're going to do Wonder Woman in December this month, going to launch at movie theaters and HBO Max
simultaneously.
For free. Yes.
Yeah.
They just inked the deal now. All of 2021 movies on Warner Brothers will be released at the theater and on HBO Max for free for the first 30 days.
Seems hard to overstate how big a deal that is, right?
I know.
For that industry.
Wow.
I mean, I've heard theater chain stocks are going in the tank, and is this the end of the theaters? Is the
I don't know.
Question.
I mean, Universal just made that deal, right, where they were going to start. They made the deal with the movie theaters that they're going to allow their movies to be released at the movie theaters for 30 days before it goes to video on demand. But if it doesn't make, I think it was the $50 million mark, then it's 17 days and it goes to video on demand. And Universal is giving the movie theaters a cut of all of that, though. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I knew as soon as they announced the Wonder Woman deal, and this was announced on Chewing the Fat, by the way, that it was going to be a done deal for the rest, for the near
Everything
future
else.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. They are saying that this is only, you know, creative solutions for 2021. So those creative solutions are going to be for unlimited amount of time now in the future until the theaters actually close.
And you have this like weird chicken and egg thing going on with these movie theaters where they're not releasing any movies, so there's no reason for theaters to be open.
Right.
And there's no reason to go to theaters because they're not releasing any movies. And there's no reason to release movies because none of the theaters are open. So there's like no real way to get this to work. This is a great, I think, actually a really good idea because they can guarantee a bunch of cash from HBO and they can still get into the theaters.
Well, they were saying HBO Max was saying they only, on HBO Max specifically, only had like 9 million subscribers. HBO has 28 million. And many of those people that have HBO haven't flipped over to HBO Max yet. So they want everybody to flip over to HBO Max, and they want new subscribers, which they're going to get with these movies.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot with the main releases.
I mean, they're releasing 17 movies that they're going to release for HBO Max in the theaters. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, who doesn't want to watch Godzilla versus Kong?
I got to say, I'm dumb enough to show up for Godzilla versus Kong. They did. I think it was the last Godzilla movie, which was another like War of the Monsters type of thing. And
Thank you.
It was not good. Whoa. The last Godzilla movie was really bad.
I didn't watch it because I assumed that going in.
Well, the one before that was actually good. The original one with Bryan Cranston in it. And that's not the original Godzilla, but the original of this latest string of them.
Is that the one where Godzilla said...
Yes.
Is it that one?
Yeah. He said that.
You got James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You have the long, according to this release, you have the long-awaited fourth Matrix film. How long have you been
waiting? Long-awaited. I thought they ended that thing. And,
whoa, no.
And Matrix 3 was so bad. And convoluted.
And Matrix 2 was also really bad. Matrix 1 is a great movie. Yeah. All the other ones have been terrible.
You have Space Jam. Another sequel.
This is the one with LeBron.
Oh, no.
Who just inked a new deal, too, by the way.
Yes, a lot of money. A lot of money that he doesn't deserve.
Speaking of Bron, are you in love with the fact that he may stick around in the NBA long enough to see Bronny get into the league as well?
Oh, good.
Wouldn't that be great?
Good. Great.
To have LeBron James and LeBron James Jr. playing
together.
Oh, that'd
be great. He'll make sure that the kid gets in.
Yes, he will.
Could the kid be any more... Is it possible that he's as annoying as LeBron James? Is it possible?
Is it possible that LeBron would actually take a pay cut to get his kid on the team?
No.
Like he did for other teammates, and he decided, no, I'm not going to take a pay cut.
Not a dime. He will not give up a dime.
It's just incredible. And then you have the new interpretation of Dune.
Mm. Wow, the first time around was so great.
Right?
I don't
Dune
remember.
Dune 1 in 1984.
What happened in Dune? What was the
movie was
what happened
horrible.
Was it was like 8 hours long, I think, if I remember correctly. Okay. And what they did was they put a camera on a sand dune.
Okay.
And then they showed that for 8.5 hours. It was really right. good.
Was there any humans?
Some people said it was slow. Not for me.
Not for you?
No. And that's about what happened in Dune. But this one looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean.
The previews are interesting.
Well, there's also a prequel, I believe, of the Sopranos series.
I hope so. I hope they finally put that together. Yeah, there was supposed to be.
About Newark is in the title.
Yeah. Look. The Sopranos are still strong for HBO, right? I mean, they have those up.
Yeah, people
watch them all. Yeah. I mean, there's some episodes during the series that you always have to go back to and watch. Season 5, you know, the final episode was awesome. Yeah. Stuff like that.
One thing I know from listening to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher podcast you can get right now if you're subscribing to podcasts at this moment is you went over the transportation numbers with the TSA. And how?
Oh, yeah.
What was the? Do you remember the details of that?
Well, some of the details they actually went up over the holidays. They had like 3 or 4 days that actually broke a million through the turnstile.
So a million people who went through TSA security.
Yes.
And what was it before the whole pandemic?
The lowest it got down to was 86,000.
86,000 from what?
During
2
the pandemic,
million or something?
Though, right.
Right. That was in the heat of the pandemic.
So what were the normal numbers going
over
through?
2 million, and then it started going to. A couple hundred thousand, 300,000. We're back up to about between 600,000 and 900,000.
So it dropped off
right
by over 90%.
But it was 2.5 million. Yeah, 2.5 to 3 million every day.
And then
day.
Has bounced back to roughly half right now. It's interesting to look at the theaters, which we're doing about $200 million a week in the theaters. Not that long ago, in February 14th through the 20th, they did $215 million in theaters.
Mm.
That dropped off to it was March 6th, the week of March 6th, it went to $134 million. Then the next week went to $58 million. The next week went to $5,632.
Incredible. They were celebrating Croods.
Yeah,
release over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Made
well, that's what I was going to
14?
Yeah, globally.
14 million.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say here. So it went down to $5,000 for a few weeks. Then eventually, once we got out of the 6 weeks to stop the spread or whatever, a few opened up, got up to 100,000, got it to 500,000 through the summer, finally broke a million in August. So again, think of how long
back, though,
that is.
Yeah.
Then 3 million, 8 million, 16 million, 30 million in September 4th. And then it started kind of getting the flare up again.
They started closing them back down again.
Went the other way. 14 million, 13 million. And it's been right around between 11 and 14 million for the past 2 months. That's still a 90% drop off.
And let me give you what's in a really nice theater near us right now. Die Hard. Okay, we can see that at home.
It's a Christmas movie, by the way.
Same with
that's why it's out right now.
Dr. Seuss, The Grinch. Okay.
Yeah.
Love Actually.
Jeez.
Here's a new one. All My Life. Never heard of it. Don't know these people. Elf is showing the Croods let him go and the war with Grandpa.
You forgot one huge movie that's released, that's been released for the next, started today, I think, maybe yesterday, and through the weekend. The Elvis remastered That's the Way It Is movie. Okay. So
thank you for that reminder.
All right. Wow.
Jeffy, that was egregious that I left that off the list. Warren, just a few minutes.
Really wasn't egregious.
Just so you're aware. If you are ready for some really great news, keep listening. Built Bar is back and it is unbelievable. If you've been listening to my show this year, I love Built Bars. It's an all-American story. This is a client I asked to be on the show because I didn't listen to my wife again. And she'd been telling me about it, but it has protein bar on it. And those always taste like a doormat. This is unbelievable. The mint brownie flavor? Oh, yes, baby. It is life-changing. The new bars taste better than ever. In addition to the 12 original flavors, Built Bar just added cookies and cream, carrot cake, caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp. I mean, it's just, it's great. Built Bar. Delicious, nutritious, high protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carbs, 100% real chocolate, and 100% really good. Plus, they've reset the code for this new launch. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Beck, get $10 off your first order. Promo code Beck, BuiltBar.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
There's a California chef that is, I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of this reaction to the ridiculous overreaches by these blue state governors largely and mayors. And they are, you're seeing a lot of it come from restaurants and bars. And it's weird because like they're just like the public face of this. It's interesting in that, you know, restaurants have seen real devastation. Bars, obviously, even worse. I mean, a state like Texas, because we had this metric set up of 15% of the hospitals filled with COVID patients means you go to, I think, 50% capacity in restaurants and bars close, I think is the way it works. There's so many restrictions and weird things like this, like it's hard to keep track of. But that's happened a lot and they've been kind of the public face. You think about some of these industries, though, that have totally gone away. I mean, like concerts.
Right.
You know, concert. We have Eric July, who's a Blaze TV contributor. Love Eric. And he comes in for the news and why it matters. He's been on this show, my show, Stu Does America. I'm sure Pat Gray Unleashed as well. And he talks. He's a musician. He's a singer for a band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole business is just dissolved.
Yeah.
Like if you had a concert venue, basically you're just turned things off
and
for the year.
And the thing about that is that, you know, for these bands, that's now how they make their money. The concerts are far more lucrative than the record sales because the digital record industry has just pretty much destroyed the massive amounts of money they were making from that. So they're not making the big bucks with the recordings anymore. They're making the big dollars at the concert venue.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't have that.
Just gone.
So then what do you do?
Yeah, then what? I mean, you know, we talk about professional sports. Obviously, you see these professional sports leagues who have gone from, I mean, you watch the games, you watch an NFL week of games, you know, mm-hmm. half the games have zero fans and half the games have, you know, maybe 10 or 20% of the fans. I mean, they're talking about mm-hmm. the Super Bowl at, I think, 20% capacity. It's something like 15,000 people, supposedly, in the stadium, which mm-hmm. I can't imagine what these tickets are going to cost. But you look at all that. What about minor league teams? You know, what about like the, you know, here, I think this is around the country. I've been to them with the kids and other places as well, but they have the like trampoline parks and like these indoor sort of like almost like indoor amusement parks in some ways where they have trampoline parks and they have like all these cool things for kids to do, go-karts and, you know, all these things where people are sharing the same space and doing physical activity or whatever indoors. You know, I mean, we have them around us and they're open again. Again, limited capacity. And we've gone to them, you know, several times. But the crowd is one-tenth of what it was.
I'll bet.
How do these places stay open?
I don't know.
Well, you know, they're dealing with this, of course, at restaurants quite a bit. There's a California chef, TV personality, Andrew Gruel, which is a weird name for, maybe it's Gruel. It's probably more, Maybe it's Gruel. I don't know the guy. But he was talking about the madness of these lockdowns and these restrictions. Listen.
Here's the situation. Do we take the pandemic seriously? Of course we do. Am I saying that we shouldn't close outdoor dining? Yes, I am. At every single juncture along the way here, from the beginning shutdown to today, we've listened to all of the advice from our government officials, only to be shut down over and over and over again, and then not compensated for the elements that we put in place in our businesses in order to protect our customers. Right. We shut down indoor dining, no problem. I got a warehouse full of plexiglass right now, okay? We went outdoors, all right? Now that's getting shut down. I just put thousands of dollars into outdoor heaters. There is zero scientific evidence that proves that outdoor dining is contributing to a rise in cases related to this. I can go get a pink cockatoo for my Christmas tree, but I can't go and dine outdoors at a restaurant. I can go to Target, Amazon's making tons of money, all big businesses is getting rich. Okay, outdoor dining does not lead to any of that. Therefore, screw that. We're staying open outdoors. It's that simple.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. And he's right on all of that. All of it. There is no there's no evidence that says that outdoor dining leads to major transmission. I mean, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to get it at doing outdoor dining. And you're killing these businesses because you're not only telling them they can't have customers, which is already a really big deal. But, and I've heard this from restaurant owner after restaurant owner. They are, you're doing these things to please the government, like putting plexiglass up and all these separators, and to make, honestly, some of the people who come to your restaurant who are scared feel better. Some of them might be effective. Some of them don't do much of anything. They're just feel-good measures.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending all of this cash to do this. And then at the end of the day, the government doesn't come back and say, hey, we know we asked you to shut down. We know we asked you to build these you know, bubbles for everyone to sit in so they can basically, everyone can live inside of plastic wrap. We know you spent a fortune on that. Here's some cash for that. Now, there have been some programs that have helped with shutdowns. We know, you know, the PPP, and there's going to be another stimulus package that comes here in the next couple of months at least. It's either going to be probably very soon or, you know, late January, early February. But that's going to be another $1 trillion. And some of that money will go to restaurant owners and other companies to be compensated for
as
this stuff.
As it should, because it is the government forcing them to shut down.
Yeah, I will say, if it's a state regulation, however, that money should probably come from the state.
Yeah,
not the government,
probably.
Not the federal government. I think that we have, this is a little bit out of control. I mean, you have a lot of people who are laid off, and those people, you know, we have an unemployment system. There's been talk about potentially another one of these sort of stimulus bonus. Stimulus is the wrong word for this because it's not stimulus. It is, it's closer to eminent domain. The government has taken your property. It's taken your business. It's told you to shut down. And they're supposed to compensate you for such things. There's a big libertarian part of me that does not like all of this, but I do understand it in this particular circumstance. At some
when
level.
The government is responsible for your business being closed and you being on the verge of bankruptcy, then, you know, it's appropriate that they compensate you, I guess. But yeah, so you look at industries like restaurants and movie theaters and, well, cruise lines. When are cruises going to be acceptable again?
You know, I've been seeing commercials for them lately.
Are they actually
Norwegian?
Open?
Yeah, they're
actually cruising.
They're selling some cruises. They're
most of them have pushed it off to 2021 sometime.
I think they might be selling future cruises and trying to get people excited about that. I was surprised to see, though, advertising for it at this point.
That is surprising.
You know, I mean, there's like, what about this live events business? This is a whole convention business, right? Where you have these huge conventions like Comic-Con, and there's a ton of them. And it's like, how are those businesses planning through this? Even if you're going to have them in the near future, you're going to have them in a separated circumstance where you're not getting close to people and people wearing masks. They don't want to do that. It's not comfortable. You know, we went, you know, they had these 6 weeks to stop the spread or whatever. It was, you know, 2 weeks and then another month, and that ended. And I think it was right after that, or not soon after that, in Texas, they opened up dining at 25% capacity in Texas. And it was like at the point where nothing was open. I mean, I think Georgia had opened a little bit. Maybe one or two other states. I know South Dakota kind of did the whole time, and a couple of other states had it that way. But it was like big news at the time. And the first day it opened, we went out to a restaurant here in Texas. And it was interesting in that it wasn't fun. You know, it's one thing to say you can go to a restaurant. It's another thing to go to a restaurant where everybody is masked around you. You can't understand them. You can't have fun. You can't go talk to somebody. You know, if you're going to a bar or whatever, you can't go talk to someone across the bar. You're freaked out because you're wondering what droplets are landing on your face from fellow diners. And it's like, I think people have loosened up a little bit since then, right? We've been dealing with this for a while now, but it wasn't enjoyable. You know, the whole point of this is it's not just going out and consuming food. You can do that at home. It's an experience. And these guys work so hard to design these amazing, you know, dishes and have a great atmosphere in their restaurants and even to work to do it outside. And at the end of the day, it's impossible for them to provide the things that the people who are coming to the restaurants actually want.
Yeah.
You know, you've really just hampered this economy to a level that is, I mean, we certainly never lived through anything like this before.
My favorite hamburger place in all of Texas, Twisted Root, still closed. They've been closed and they're continuing to be closed in most of their locations. I think in Shreveport, Louisiana or someplace, they've got a couple of restaurants open, but all of the restaurants in the DFW area still closed. And I think they've even filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So, I mean, I don't know how people are surviving it. I don't know what you're doing for livelihood. But when you once had such a successful operation that you now have restaurants all over the place, you've gone from one to 20 or 30 or whatever, and now you've had to be closed all this time, it just devastated your business. So how do you ever get that back? You just can't. And the government can't make everybody whole. Everybody who has declared bankruptcy and who has shut down, they're not all going to be made whole again by the U.S. government or a state government. It's just not possible. It can't happen.
No.
So this is a tragedy, and I really feel for people who've lost their livelihoods like that. It's really a shame.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
We may have played this yesterday, but just as a reminder, here's what Joe Biden is saying about your holiday season that's coming up, because, you know, everything's got to change now, right? You couldn't have anybody over for Thanksgiving. Well, even more so for Christmas.
I hope you all are listening, as with all the trouble you're going through, you cannot be traveling during these holidays.
You got
as
that?
As much as you want. I have a large family.
Okay.
Brock used to kid me about it. I mean, everything for me is family, beginning, middle, and end. When one comes, everybody comes. You think I'm joking? I'm not.
Why would I think you're joking?
That is such a weird thing that he does all the time.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. No, nobody thinks you're joking. No. Why do you always say that?
I don't know. It's like a weird tic he has. He throws that into sentences all the time when everyone's sitting there like, they're not laughing. They're bored.
Right.
That's different. A totally different thing.
I don't even care, let alone think you're joking.
I've seen people go away every Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. My deceased son, before he passed away. We'd all go away, and we'd go away on Thanksgiving to be just a nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, grandchildren.
Cousins.
And
second cousins.
The first time we had a Thanksgiving with my wife and myself.
You're right.
My daughter in the region and her husband, who's a doctor in the region.
In the region.
That's it.
Okay. That's
all
it.
My
regional
other kids,
doctor.
Everybody else in the family was on Zoom on Thanksgiving, which doesn't. Well, Christmas is going to be a lot harder.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't want to scare anybody here, but understand the facts.
I love this. Here we go. He's not a fearmonger. It's Republicans that fearmonger. He doesn't want to scare anybody, but
we're likely to lose another 250,000 people dead between now and January.
Okay, that's okay.
It's a lot.
He doesn't want to scare anybody, but we are likely to have 250,000 people dead between now and January.
Now,
well, January is in, 26
28 days? It's December 4th.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So 28 days. So mm-hmm. So you're basically looking at about 10K a day, which would be high.
We've never cleared 3,000 in a day. Yeah. It's 2,700 right now.
Right. And it's, you know, we probably will break those records in it, you know, over the next few weeks. I mean, it probably will happen. It is very widespread right now.
But will it go to 10,000 a day?
I'm going to go to 10,000. I will be very surprised if it hits that number.
I think so.
So I was trying to figure out where he got this number from. We were joking about this in the break. I'm like, it's possible he could say, globally, mm-hmm. 10,000 people a day will die, which is about the level we're at now. Is he trying to say that? If you look mm-hmm. at some of these estimates, he says from now until January. Does that mean do you give him January? Like, I mean, until January to me says till December 31st.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yes. If you include January in the estimates and take
and go
the
all
worst
the way to the
estimates,
31st.
You go all the way to the January, January 31st, and you take the worst case scenario, you might be able to get there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, like if the worst possible thing happens and you will get, which is really stretching to give him all of January. I mean, he said until January.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he could do that. More likely he just screwed it up.
Because if we give him till January 31st, well, now we've given him till February is how that would be, right?
Right. Until February.
You would have to, in order for him to be correct, you would have to say until February.
But like that University of Washington model says that that's possible. Now, of course, that also means that there's no vaccine, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have a vaccine that inoculates 30 million people by that time, I mean, the number's going to be a lot different.
But don't they also say you have to relax restrictions in order to do that? And it's going the other way.
Yeah, think about that's a great point. I mean, think about what that means. It's an estimate that it revolves around easing mandates. We are doing the exact opposite. People are adding new mandates.
Yeah.
Now, the effect of mandates is very overblown. Very overblown. You go and look at the mask mandate states. Forget even whether the masks work or not for a second. Just throw that away for a second. Just look at what happens in states with mask mandates and states without mask mandates. What's the difference in percentage of people who actually wear masks? It's like 15%. I want to say it's like in a state like South Dakota, about 65% of people are wearing masks regularly.
Even when there's not
even when
mandate.
There's not a mandate. And in like Washington, D.C. was, I think, the highest. It was something like 80% of people are wearing masks, even though there is a mandate. Hmm. Not everyone listens, right? And and the same in South Dakota. A lot of people are wearing masks just because they think it might be helpful, right? And let's just wear them. You know, sometimes they're mandated in stores. You know, there's other reasons. But like when you look at statewide policy, there are really good personal liberty reasons to argue about those things. When it comes to pragmatic actual effects, people, generally speaking, make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They make their own decisions.
And they're gonna err on the side of being cautious.
Yeah, I mean, like,
usually.
The mask thing is interesting because you could look at a lot of the studies. Some show very little benefit from masks. Some show decent benefit from masks. Nothing shows. It's not a panacea. There's no, it's not a cure for COVID. Even the most optimistic studies on masks will show like you might cut your chance of getting of it spreading by like 50%, which is something that's significant.
Mm.
But when it's not, when you're talking about not letting people make their own personal choice and instead throwing a mandate on their head, right? The standard for a government to mandate something should be really high. Like, I don't want any of it. But even if you do want mandates, it should be incredibly high bar you have to clear as far as benefit. On the other side, for your personal use, it should be pretty low. Like, if you think there's a 10% chance that it'll help, and it's not really going to interrupt your life too much, you probably are going to do it. That's why a lot of people are, you know, they're doing their dinners outside. They're standing, you know, they're standing a few feet away from each other. Even if they don't necessarily worry themselves, they'll take some steps.
Yeah.
You know, and you could, that's a much more sensible way for a country to deal with it. You know, let give people reliable information, let people say, hey, this might help, might not, but you know, hey, if you want to take some steps that might help, I think most people would say that, right? Like if you have a safety feature on your car that might help in a few percent of cases, all things being equal, you'd probably throw it on your car if it's cheap. If it's really expensive, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you make decisions. You're able to take a cost-benefit analysis and look at how your risk, you know, is in life, and you try to judge that risk. That's how we all live. It's why we go 65 on the highway and not 3. Because if we went 3, we wouldn't die in car accidents ever. We also don't go 170. You know, whether the mandate is there or not. Now, Pat, of course, does go 170. That's why he gets 15 speeding tickets a week.
Yeah, once in a while. I'll do 170, 175, something like that.
Yeah, but you know, you're not in the norm on that one.
No, probably not. Mm. Na, na, na.